Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrich. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Gemma Tarlak of Discover Magazine joins us to give us the latest news from the world of science, including the discovery of a new pterosaur in Utah. First, President Trump is again criticizing Milwaukee-based motorcycle manufacturer Harley-Davidson. In a tweet yesterday, Trump said, quote, "Many Harley-Davidson owners plan to boycott the company if manufacturing moves overseas. Great." That comes after Harley announced in June that it would move some of its operations overseas to the European Union, citing higher production costs after Trump imposed tariffs on steel and aluminum, and then Europeans responded with higher tariffs on products including motorcycles. Joe Daniels is chair of the Department of Economics at Marquette University and the director of the Center for Global and Economic Studies. Joe, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob. Thanks for having me on.
I don't know if we have a lot of precedent for this, but what does it mean for Harley to be the subject of the president's public criticism?
Well, you know, I in my lifetime, I have not seen a sitting president negatively go after a U.S. company like this. Of course, we saw it with Trump during the election, during the primaries. But I haven't seen it with a sitting president. It's very unprecedented in modern time.
How much would a boycott hurt Harley-Davidson right now, given that they've been struggling with declining sales in recent years?
Well, a boycott's going to hurt, even though the sales of bikes in the U.S. have been declining. You know, their growth has been international outside of the U.S., but with aging demographics, especially the baby boomers, the sales of big bikes in the U.S. have been declining, but Harley sells an awful lot of accessories and merchandise as well, and so that's two different ways that a boycott could hurt them here locally.
Now let's get into the tariff issue. How do the tariffs affect Harley-Davidson, both on some of their production materials, steel and aluminum, and then when they're sending bikes from the U.S. to, say, the European Union, tariffs on their final product?
Yeah, Harley is the classic example of being caught between a rock and a hard place on tariffs because, you know, they're big users of steel and aluminum. And so those tariffs are hurting them on input costs, and so that makes them less price competitive overseas. Second, if they're going to go into Europe and compete with BMW, they've got additional transportation costs. Now, I'm not sure what those are per bike, but I've heard it's fairly close to what the tariff impact will be. And then third, of course, the EU increased tariffs on motorcycles from 6% to, I think it was something like 31%. And so that just makes Harley-Davidson uncompetitive in the EU.
So Harley announced earlier this summer, as we said, they're looking at setting up production in the EU. Their line is, we wouldn't be making bikes in the European Union to bring back the United States. Bikes sold in America would be made in America still. How common is it for a company to say, okay, for those transport costs, for tariff concerns, it makes sense to set up shop closer to where we're selling these things?
Especially, you know, in a product like a Harley-Davidson motorcycle, this is actually fairly common. You know, a lot of the parts that go on a motorcycle, on a Harley-Davidson, are not really made by Harley-Davidson. You know, they manufacture engines and transmissions primarily, so that's what they actually manufacture. And then they import a lot of parts, whether it be a rim or, a tire. You know, Harley-Davidson, they'll make tires, for example. And so they import those, and then they're assembled and then shipped onto the dealer. So, for example, here in the Milwaukee area, they're doing both manufacturing and assembly. So, you know, given that it's assembly that they would primarily be doing overseas, they would still make the transmissions and the engines here, but the bikes would be assembled overseas, and then they wouldn't be subject to the tariffs. And so because of that, because you can kind of modularize your production process, that type of company, it's very common that they have some kind of footprint overseas. And it's only part, you know, I want to emphasize, it's only part of what they actually do.
Talking to Joe Daniels, chair of the Department of Economics at Marquette University, looking at the back and forth between President Trump and Harley Davidson in this recent era of tariffs. Joe, I wanted to get into the big picture of tariffs. A lot of economic advisors for the president and supporters say, okay, short-term pain, long-term gain from these tariffs. We're going to be hurt by them in the short run, but as a negotiating tool, they're ultimately going to lead us to have better deals with individual countries and lower tariff barriers. Do you think there's something to that argument?
No. How's that for an answer?
Elaborate, please.
Yeah, so, you know, the problem is the last time we had something like this, frankly, was Hoover during the Great Depression. What happens with a tariff, and this is indicative in the United States, is that when a tariff is imposed, it's very hard to get rid of it. And a classic example of that is the tariffs that we have on imported pickup trucks. So I know a lot of folks in the United States think that the United States is a wide-open free trader, and frankly, we're not. Our tariff rates are pretty much, our average tariff rates pretty much in line with what we see with the other advanced economies. In 1964, we got into an argument with Germany. They imposed tariffs on chickens, U.S. chickens. And so we turned around, we imposed a 25% tariff on imported pickup trucks. And we applied it broadly, just like Trump is doing today. And that tariff is still in place today. And, of course, what that does is that it makes pickup trucks more expensive here in the United States for the U.S. consumer. So it's very difficult once a tariff is enacted to remove it. And second, we see with empirical data that if tariff rates are increased, it leads to both a decrease in imports, which is what Trump's objective is, but it also leads to a decrease in our exports. And that's what we were talking about with Harley Davidson, that they're going to be on, you know, price, just be uncompetitive price-wise. Just over the last 10 years, China has actually cut their tariff rates quite a bit. It's still fairly high, but they went from an average of about 15% to 6%. The U.S. is sitting around 2%. And what we've seen for China is that by cutting tariffs, both their exports and their imports rose. And so that's the flip side of the coin. So I would also add that this is causing a lot of disruption, a lot of uncertainty, and we're starting to see investment sit on the sidelines. So I know Trump is saying a lot of companies are moving here, but that's not showing up in the data. What we're seeing is cursory evidence and companies reporting they had deals in line, and they're just putting them on the sideline. So it hurts foreign direct investment, and that's a long-term issue that economies like to have, you know, good, stable FDI inflows. And frankly, the way he's going around about his trade war, he's creating uncertainty, which is hampering that.
Well, with that uncertainty, you can't absolutely answer this question, but what do you think is going to happen next, or what are you watching for to happen next in these escalating tariff battles?
I think what the president is banking on is that someone else is going to blink first and acquiesce and say, okay, you know, let's sit down at the table and let's do some kind of new trade deal. We haven't seen that yet. What he's worked out with the EU, those were deals that were already in place. A lot of what they talked about had been negotiated under Obama, and the soybean deal is negligible because they purchased, I think it's less than 5% of our agricultural of our soybean products. So it's just a matter of seeing if someone's going to blink first, and unfortunately it's not going that way. And when these tariffs are being imposed, they're having real impacts on, significant impacts on companies. So when Harley Davidson makes a decision to assemble a bike for sale abroad, they're not going to assemble it abroad and export it back to the U.S. But if they make that decision, they're going to stick with that decision for a long time. That's not going to be a short-term decision.
We'll leave it there for now. Joe, thanks a lot for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me, Rob. I appreciate it.
That's Joe Daniels, chair of the Economics Department and professor of economics at Marquette University, with us for a look at President Trump's support of a Harley-Davidson boycott and wider trade and tariff issues.